Hello, everyone, and I hope you've had a wonderful summer. We certainly have, and that's why we can sit back and put our feet up before Labor Day and welcome you to Blind Bargains episode 155. I'm Joe. That's JJ. Hey JJ.
The pacing's been a bit interesting lately, as some people have commented.
We may have missed
a week if you added up, but we did a lot of shows in July, so, you know.
Sure, but there's some good reasons why. I mean, you had a change in your life that affected things. The removal of something.
Oh, yeah, that changed. I have no more wisdom, so I'm just going to be really dumb now. Really dumb.
Okay. Yeah. Some people would say that this show has been that way for 154 episodes. You know, we're coming up on Labor Day, and right around the corner will be some Apple event, I would imagine. So we thought we'd just kind of sort of kick back and talk a little bit about entertainment and doing some fun things in this episode.
Yeah, so last week-ish, last episode, I made a quick mention of this APH word puzzles thing, and I was pretty excited about it, actually. I didn't know a lot about it at the time. You know, we just pretended to. No, just kidding. So it's a web app. It's still in beta, but what it lets you do is do crossword puzzles, but not just any. Like, I took, and what I've been doing is taking crossword puzzles, say, from the Wall Street Journal and actually uploading them and playing them for free. So you can get 2 days crossword puzzle, put it in there and play it. So I'll demo that a little later. It's really a cool thing. And, you know, if you haven't been able to do crosswords much in your life, well, this might open up a really cool thing that you can do. You're going to need modern browsers and things like that, but we'll talk about it more a little later. You got a game too?
Yeah, I'm going to play a little bit with Dusk and play around. There's a lot of stuff that's been showing up for iPhones. Dusk is a game that you can play with someone in the same room, or you can play by yourself, and there's several little mini games, you know, kind of like Cubital, where you have several games in one app. Dusk has that as well, so you can crack a save for I just know Battle Cats.
Meow. Pronunciations have never been our forte, actually.
No, we rely on speech. Sound Off, Last Word, both of those are going to be right in there. And a listener-submitted tip, no less. Yeah. Look at that. Hey, all right.
See? And my comment fits your last word. I see.
Oh, does it now? Okay. Yeah. Well, that works out really, really well.
Right.
Have you already downloaded your Jaws August update? I know for some people it has taken a little longer to run.
I don't think I've downloaded the Jaws June update. You know, NVDA is my primary in the world, and I do have Jaws on this machine by virtue of WindowEyes. Yes, it's a slow news week. We waited like almost 2 weeks for news, and what do we get? Okay, we have a Jaws update. Now, if you want to use new Skype.
Not just Jaws. I mean, there's Fusion as well, so there's a Zoom text update. You know, it's all good.
We said we can do this in five minutes. I'm not Skype? Sure if we will, but
yes.
Skype. New Skype. If you want to use new Skype, you don't have to use new Skype. But if you do, there's support for in the latest Jaws free update for Jaws 2018, which just came out, and a bunch of other fixes. One for the Kindle app, for instance. Crashes are always good to get rid of. So yes, that's there. What's in Fusion? Is there just stuff?
just kind of more stuff. No, there's things going on with Fusion in regards to how they're making a little bit of slightly change to multi-monitor, the way that some things are working as far as that's concerned. But magnification sees fewer changes, but really what it is how it integrates with Jaws in the case of Fusion, because that merger of products is still kind of sort of happening as that becomes the default instead of, say, Magic. So definitely check out the release notes to be able to find out more what's going on there. I can tell you that what is a bit more exciting is that Dolphin in Supernova 17 brings support to Firefox and other browsers that are not Internet Explorer. Now we're talking.
17.03, and a whole bunch of stuff. The latest versions of Firefox and Quantum or the ESR, the extended support related, if you want to use that. Magnification on video walls. That's cool. Man, if you are a low vision user and you just want to pop your computer up on a wall.
Or the Surface Hub or something like that, because in boardrooms and stuff, that is kind of like an electronic whiteboard.
Support for the Reaper Digital Workstation app. That's a lot of totally blind people use that. So there are script files that they're now including for Reaper, thanks to a user submitted script. So that's cool.
I am really excited to see some of these changes coming to Supernova. It seems like they're starting to take a lot of requests into Hopper and turning that into
Magnifier users, right?
Really good development. Yeah.
You know, you lost. So, okay, Magic's around for now, but who knows how much longer. ZuneTex has been making a lot of changes over the past year or two. Some people like them, some people don't. You know, maybe it's worth, especially if you're a low vision user, to look at the Dolphin Magnifier and see what's been going on in Supernova and see where they're at lately. You may be surprised. I haven't tried it myself, but I know others that are like it. You know, they're big and across the pond, not so much here, but maybe it is worth another look, especially if you're looking for an alternative for magnification.
Absolutely. And other alternatives might include such things as, oh, I don't know, maybe you want to use the OrCam 2.0 in order to do some of reading and or writing. That's just one of the things that's talked about in the August edition of Access World. Jamie gave us a little bit of a preview of what was coming earlier this month. So it's kind of neat to hear that it's out and you can read some of the things that he even wrote in this particular.
Scott's in there with talking about Braille display standards and what that all means. That's probably definitely a good thing to check out. Convention coverage from the summer shows. If you haven't got enough convention coverage yet, there's even more in the August Access World and some more things coming up. Me and Shelly are working on a series coming up in the coming months dealing with all those set top boxes. So there's lots of us that write for Access World. So if there are things that you like to see, they do really well with the longer form pieces that we don't always cover on Blind Bargains or on the podcast. So if you have ideas, you know, all the writers I know are very open to feedback and we're always looking for stuff to cover. So talk to Jamie or Scott or me or Shelly or who knows, or Bill or anyone else that's, you know, that writes, and maybe you can get something in a future issue.
And I don't have it listed here, but I meant to, there are things going on over at Mystic Access. They updated their free tutorials. That you just saying that kind of clicked into my head. Featured just recently over at Top Tech Tidbits. So definitely check out the new information that's going on over at Mystic Access. It's always good to find those free resources that are out there for some of those longer things like we were talking about. Maybe you just tip isn't enough. You got to have more of a long-term deep dive into things like, you know, whether I should buy a $22 game or not. So this is a post over at Applevis that I thought was interesting. Liam's name was invoked here as a reason to or not buy this particular game, because Liam has been doing a little bit more in the way of kind of live streaming some of the gaming, like Crazy Party and other things. And it's kind of an interesting conversation because we need games like this. And, you know, certainly after losing Papa Sangri and others, it really made people think about what can be sustainable in the gaming space. You know, A Blind Legend was crowdsourced, and we've had other games that use vocal audio, but that stuff ain't cheap. You know, just go ask how, you know, much it cost to put together like a Hero's Call. But people didn't want to spend $20 on a Hero's Call. And here's another game that's, you know, touchscreen enabled on the App Store, and people are kind of like, I don't want to pay for this because of the following things. And some people didn't even like play the game. They just heard a demo of the game and they're like, that's it, I'm out, just forget it. It's an interesting thing to talk about, because I'm afraid that if we have people act like this in general, we won't get games like this. People will say that there is no market, or people will avoid doing audio only titles, which already out the gate have a smaller market than a traditional video game. Did you have a chance to peruse some of these comments here on this particular?
Not yet. You know, a lot of times these forum posts can just get, you have the angry people. It's just like the comment section in the newspaper. The angry people seem like they're louder than the ones that are talking sense. But, you know, I certainly understand where some people are going to. You know, I know many people are on limited budgets. Yeah. There's no entitlement that you can afford every single game, and sometimes you have to pick and choose. Mainstream games, many of them are 50, 60 on up. Yes, many of them are more complicated than what we have, but, you know, there might be other solutions. Mainstream games that happen to have accessibility modes. I noticed that Crafting Kingdom did a complete kind of relaunch of the game and added in some additional monetary streams for them, where you can now buy gems and go to a shop and things like that. So they've kind of added some freemium options for people who want to play. It's not required to. You can still do what you do now, but, you know, they're looking at other ways to bring in money you know,
and reached out to the same people on AppleVis to get ideas about how to improve that for voiceover. And so, you know, do you reward someone for doing that? I mean, certainly if they go out of their way, it feels like, yeah, you should. You should, mm-hmm. you know, be able to chuck them a bone. But, you know, there is something to be said about 2250. Remember, 30% of that isn't even going to the developer.
It's not over just the blind last people, though. I mean, there are plenty of angry-sided people when it talks to game prices and things like that. So let's remember
but that. But that's where I was going, right? So over the last couple of weeks, there's been a bit of a developer revolt because there was an article that came out about how Apple was working with developers to go to a more subscription-based model rather than a one-and-done philosophy. And that really had a lot of developers talking in circles about what do they get out of the App Store? You know, what comes out of this? Is Apple earning its 30%? Is Google earning its percentage points for distribution or, you know, discovery, especially now that Apple has kind of changed the game with the App Store, where it is using more human curation. Some people feel like it's, you know, kind of lopsided against them in the developers market. So there's a lot to be thought of there. And it kind of, that's why I brought up this article was, there's a lot to be done for someone to go through the hassle of coding, getting people to record, doing all of that, and then giving somebody a 5-word reason for why you hate them. And I mean hate. I mean, let's not mince words here. There are some people just spewing hate on this thing, and I think that's a bit overmuch. But how can we expect people to do more, or for this to become a viable platform for them to do more, if this is the way that people react?
I just don't get it. As a developer, one of the skills you do have to learn is to be able to shrug some things off as just angry people who are up to no good in the world. And it's unfortunate that there are people out there that want to take out all their hatred on someone who's worked hundreds of hours on things. There's lots of products I'm never going to buy, but I'm not going to write the developer and say, you wrote a piece of crap. What does this thing, you know, what does that accomplish? Does it make you really make you feel better? Going to psychology and then and all it that,
negatively affects other people who are on the fence.
Yeah,
so now you've pushed them away. So now it's even worse.
It's okay to, if you have constructive criticism about something, that's totally fine. If you're just going to be angry and stupid, then shut up.
Pretty much. Well, something we've said on this show once or twice. Now that we're going to talk about games, we're going to talk about games we do like. There we go. So that's coming up. And of course, later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about a tip and sound off and
a user
of course,
tip,
the last
even.
Word. I know, crazy.
Good.
We should be off our tip. Feed more often. Yeah, that was true.
So good,
Alex. He owes you a beer. Just telling you that's how that works.
Ooh, okay.
So should we go to the audio clippage?
Tips for beers. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
it's a new section. No, or is there something going on over at AT Guys that we should talk about?
There's nothing. We just still have a lot of our things. If you missed them at convention, they're still out. The accessible battery packs, the EnerGrid ones, 15,000 mAh, still $75. We have them in stock right now at our warehouse. Of course, the Trex Air from Aftershocks. Been getting a lot of excitement from those. It's other things.
Ricky,
you know,
has that.
I wear mine all the time. That's no joke. That's not just because I sell it. It's a really, really cool thing. So, you know, we're still looking for some new things. I have a couple ideas that have come in from customers. So definitely write us too. If you have an idea for a product that you think might be good for us, write us at support@atguys.com and let us know. atguys.com, your access technology experts. You can also call us at 269-216-4798 and be sure to leave a voicemail so we can take care of you. Now we play the sounder, right? Or something?
Yep.
Do we have to play sounders, or is this because we have these things in the...
Well, he can also do the classic fading us out while we're talking about nothing in particular.
Yeah, right. And so we can just keep going, and then we just kind of just jump up into a puzzle or something.
Oh, crap. I think I broke the podcast.
Hey, folks, it's demo time, game demo time. Oh, lots of fun here. You know, growing up, I always loved doing crossword puzzles with my family and other people. They're really cool. They're in the newspaper every day, most of your major newspapers. But it's one of those things that I was never able to really do by myself because puzzles in the newspaper, not very accessible. And when they came online, maybe you could read the clues, but trying to figure out the layout and everything just wasn't working out. Well, APH has created a new tool to solve much of this issue. So it turns out the crosswords that are in most of your major newspapers are delivered in a standard format that's been kind of created over the years, a .puz file, P-U-Z. APH has created a program that will read these, interpret them, and let you play crossword puzzles. It's a modern web app, so it means it works best in modern browsers like Chrome and Firefox. With NVDA, I'm using NVDA currently. You can use it with JAWS as well. They're doing some testing as well to try to make all that going. It was called Word Puzzles. In fact, it was called Word Puzzles when we recorded the news segment earlier this week. They've now renamed it to Crossword, which actually makes a lot more sense in my mind, because that's what this thing is, a way to play crossword puzzles. So I have it up right here. In fact, I'm going to reset a puzzle that I've already played with. I'll just show you, kind of show you how this works. This is now at crossword.aphtech.org. We'll link to it in the show notes. And when you go to that web app, I'm on Chrome and NVDA. You first get a
crossword application. To continue, you must agree to the link app privacy statement.
Okay, you have to do that one time.
I agree, checkbox not checked.
And I've read that, of course. I've read that, right? Absolutely, I've read that.
When, button go back. Button continue.
And we'll hit continue.
When. Application, the cross, open button. Address and search bar, application, button open.
So, now we are on the crossword main application.
10th grade Civil War crossword, Google Chrome.
And actually, that's one that it comes with. It has a bunch of educational ones that it comes with by default. Just as some demos. I'm going to hit open because I want to load in one from the newspaper. I think they're more fun. This is cool for school kids. I want something else. So I'm going to hit open.
Open dialog, file name, combo box collapsed, edit all, items view list, 2018 not selected. Images.
I'm going to go to where I have crossword puzzles saved.
J libraries, J downloads, 14, items view, WSJ180814.puzz not selected, 2861.
There we go. This is a Wall Street Journal puzzle from August 14th that I downloaded. Now there's a website called Crossword Fiend that has links to a lot of the daily puzzles. Some of them are free. Some, like New York Times, you have to pay for. But there are lots of free ones that you can get at. So there's plenty of free crosswords to try out and play. I'm going to hit enter on this.
10th grade Civil War crossword, Google Chrome. Application, button open, across, list. Creature feature crossword, Google Chrome.
Ah, so now we have this new one loaded. This is from the Wall Street Journal. And I'm going to turn off browse mode because this works the best when you're out of browse mode.
Across, list 1, dot is gene, 3, 1 of 37.
And now we have the list of clues for the across. So if I hit down arrow.
4, condition simulated in a wind tunnel, 4, 2 of 37, 8, take for granted, 6, 3 of 37.
So let me dissect this for you, especially for those of you who might not be as familiar with crosswords. The first number you're hearing is the clue number, which will match up with the number in the puzzle. So it skips numbers because you have across clues and down clues, and some of the clues are across and some are down. The only time a number is duplicated is if you have a spot that has both an across clue and a down clue. To break this down even further, if you've never seen a crossword puzzle, it is a grid of squares, and these squares connect. They have words going across, going down, multiple words connecting, as you'll see as we go along here. So we have quite a few across clues here.
14. Pigeons murmur, 3, 4 of 37.
So the first number, like you said, 14 is the clue number. Pigeons murmur is the clue. And the 3 you heard after is the number of letters in the answer. So I can go down through here.
15, gazetteer figure, 4, 5, 16. Complains petulantly, 6, 6, 17. Love a lot of sunshine, E, 19. Money, political patron, 6, 20. Matters of course, 7, 21. Sure thing, 3, 10 of 37.
And the funny thing is I did this puzzle about a week or two ago and I still don't remember most of these answers.
22, volcanic discharge, 3, 11 of 37, 23. Cynical crime genre, 4, 12, 24. Adroit attorney, 10, 13, 27. Ring result for short, 3, 14 of 28, 27.
Ring I remember that one. Ring result for short, 3 letters. And I believe the answer to that is TKO. So if I press enter,
puzzle table 27.
See, it moved us to the puzzle table, which I could have tabbed to, but it dropped us in the correct spot on the 27. So I'm going to hit T.
T27.
K. O. And that little boom means that I have rounded out the entry. So I can actually arrow around this puzzle.
K. T27.
There's the T. K. O. O.
K. T27.
K. TKO. Now, if I hit down arrow.
30. T23.
Or up arrow.
20.
These are other numbers in the
17.
Puzzle. So this all kind of hooks together. So if I hit, here's the K, right? In TKO. If I hit up arrow from the K, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I went all the way up to a number 2. Since I pressed up arrow, I know that's a down clue. That's a 2 down. Now, if I want to know what 2 down is, I can press enter, and it's going to drop me right over to the down table.
Down, list 2. Lost colony of 1580s, Virginia. 7, 2,
Lost
37.
Lost colony of 1580s, Virginia. And if I remember right, I believe that's Roanoke. So I'm just going to hit enter again, which will brought me back to the puzzle.
Puzzle table 2.
Now when I type in letters, it's actually going to do it vertically off of this 2. R-O-A-N-O-K-O. And you hear the K? before I type the K. The K is there because I already typed it there from TKO, and it's telling me that there's already a K here. And there we go, K-E. And there we go. Now we have that in.
K-O.
Now, I went back to this O in Roanoke.
23.
There's a 23 across. But that click, by the way, means the edge of the puzzle.
Oh.
So now we have a 23 across. There we go. Right arrow is an O. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Nope, black space means it's empty. So,
O, 23.
If I go here, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I have a four-letter word.
O,
the second letter is O. Let me hit enter on the 23.
Across list 23. Cynical crime genre 4. 12
is cynical crime genre. Believe that's moi. You know, M-O-I-R.
Puzzle table 23.
And I can enter back to the 23. M,
23, O.
The O's right there.
I, R.
So these things kind of keep hooking together. If you've never played a crossword, it kind of becomes apparent after a minute. If I arrow back, say we have the M-O-I-R.
O, M-20, O, I, R.
And then below that we have
M-20, T-27.
TKO, right?
K, O, K, T-27, 30, T-20, M-23, 20.
And now we have an something-something M-T.
Noun, list 1, grave markers, 7.
Grave markers,
4, 7, 20, M-23, T-27.
Oh, you know what? Not moi, it's nor, noir. 30. The N, not
X.
Okay, N, O. See, I'm looking at MT. I'm going to put an N here instead of the M.
N23, O.
See how it kind of just updates the puzzle?
N.
So the cool thing is you can kind of just jump back and forth. So before the puzzle,
across list.
There's the across clues. I tab,
table.
There's the puzzle table. I tab again.
Down list two.
There's the down clues. Now, it'd be really cool if they added some things. I know the suggestion's been kind of floating around. Hey, I want a way to find just the clues that haven't been done yet. Or a way to check your solution when you're done. That would be really cool. This is an early beta, but it's really making it very simple for me. Me and some friends, we sat around for a couple hours and played one of these puzzles. We actually had two or three of us. We all pulled it up on our web browsers and had the same puzzle going, and we were messing around with it. Because your typical puzzle has probably 60 or 70 clues, and you can kind of just keep going through and arrowing around. So let's see. There's Roanoke.
One
across.
R2.
It has a second letter as an R.
Three. R2,
I'm hitting left and right arrow to see that.
Across list one. Dot is gene. Three. 1 of 37.
Data is gene.
Puzzle
blank
R2.
R.
Three.
Yeah.
R2, 1.
There's a three letter thing. See, I already forgot all the answers.
14. Oh.
There are thousands and thousands of puzzles, and many of them are free. Wall Street Journal does one 6 days a week. Many other papers do them every day or every other day. I found a website with 40,000 other files. So pretty much you go do a search for crosswordpuzzles.puz. You can get them with all sorts of difficulty levels, all sorts of different themes. There's lots of different ways to do it. And then you can let APH know what you think of this thing. Like I said, it works best with Firefox and Chrome. They're building this for modern web browsers. So Internet Explorer is out because it hasn't been updated in several years. The apps that they're using, the tools that they're using are not in IE. They're not going to be in IE. So to request that they support Internet Explorer is not going to work here because it's just, you know, modern web apps allow for a lot of things that you wouldn't be able to do before and pretty much make it look like a Windows app, but you can't use IE. Firefox, Chrome, and then the next level will be to bring it to mobile iOS, Android as well. Yes, you could use Safari, I guess, as well on the Mac. I don't see why that wouldn't work. So we'll put the link in the show notes. Like I said, crossword.aphtech.org is how to sign up, but then join the puzzle beta list, and then you can send in your feedback. Joe Wenner and the guys over there at APH have been doing a great job of very receptive to feedback, trying to mush down any crashes and things that they've been finding, and doing a really cool job with the app. It's a great first stab at this, and I've already completed a couple of puzzles this way. You can kind of go through. If you want to switch puzzles, you just shift tab.
For available puzzles, combo box creature feature by Alex Eden Salmer / edited by Mike Shen collapsed.
So it'll actually remember.
10th grade civil war by Rachel Bishop. 10th grade civil war by.
Okay, say I go to this 10th grade civil war thing and I tab.
Across list one. Speech delivered by President Lincoln in Pennsylvania. 17. 1 of 17.
You know, so now I'm on that one. I'm guessing that's Gettysburg Address. But if I come back to creature feature.
Available puzzle. Across list. Available puzzles. Combo box 10th grade civil.
Oh, it must be down.
Creature feature.
There it is. Back to creature feature.
Across list one. Dot is 4. Con 8. 4. 5. 6.
It will remember.
17. Level Otter Fund 19. Money Police 21. Sure Thing for 22. Volcanic Disc 23. Cynical Crime Genre 24. Adroit Attorney 10.
Cynical Crime Genre.
Puzzle Table
N 23. And it's still there. N
O I R.
My answers are still there as long as you're using the same browser and user account and all that. It's holding on to your answers. And you can hit reset if you want to start over, but it does hold on to your answers. So it's really cool and a very intuitive and simple interface. Not a lot going on here. So again, this is APH Crossword, formerly known as Word Puzzles for about 2 weeks, now called APH Crossword, and it's one of the latest things from the APH Labs, free to use and to try. Send us your game ideas or other things you want us to review. You can always email feedback@blindbargains.com.
Hey everyone, I'm back and I have with me my gaming partner, Ricky. Hey Ricky, how you doing?
Haha, getting ready to beat you soundly in a number of games, which will probably turn out not to be the case.
Well, that's kind of the case that can happen with Dusk. This is an app that we've talked about before on the news section, and, you know, Liam had a review of it over at Black Screen Gaming, but I thought it would be important to talk about playing multiplayer, which he didn't have a chance to do in that review. Screened. And so, whoops, stop, screen, Jim, don't you do that to me. So we're going to launch the game and make a connection and play some multiplayer. So this is a game that's free on the App Store right now. I'm going to launch it.
Dusk. Please make sure that sound and haptic feedback are turned on before playing.
Okay.
How many players? Two players. Button.
So I'm going to choose, you see one and two players.
Two players. Button. Two players. Available players. Players. Back button.
And you'll notice that it's not showing me yet because I haven't shown the number of players that I'm interested in, so.
How many players? How many players? Two players. Button. Two players. Available players. Just iPhone. iPhone.
Okay.
Available players. Head players. Back button. Available players. Heading. iPhone.
So I can.
Selected. iPhone.
Just iPhone wants to play with you. Joe's iPhone wants to play with me. Wow, I didn't actually realize it was sentient, but I'll say okay.
Okay, so you have, once you've made the connection, several games that you can play. Safe Opener is neat, but it doesn't translate well to audio. We won't really demonstrate that for you. But what it is you turn your phone until you feel a vibration. You'll feel several vibrations as you're turning the safe. And then when you feel one kind of vibrate a little differently, you hold your phone there and that actually locks in the number for the combination. And you do that in real time, trying to beat the other person. So you're both frantically turning your phone in a clock or a counterclockwise way in order to kind of find the magic number. And whoever does that first wins the game. And like we said, that doesn't really come across very well. So we'll skip that.
H2 of 5, ping pong, ping pong, tap to begin.
Ping pong, Ricky and I both suck at this. We can demonstrate it if you want, Ricky, but it'll go really quick.
Yeah, because I'll win immediately.
Yeah.
Whoever serves will win immediately.
So the idea is that you're using your phone like a ping pong paddle and you're tapping things back and forth. And so I'll do ping this pong. One just real quick. Right.
And so you notice it's telling us what to do, and it won't start until we've both touched to begin. So I will do that.
Okay, and then.
And now you do that.
Hers will say waiting for the other player. So if you're not sure.
Yep.
Wait for your friend to hit the bowling rhythm, moving the phone like a racket. Touch, serve. You lose.
So I won somehow. I don't really know.
Okay, I'll do it one more time.
Yep.
Hit the bowling rhythm, moving the phone like a racket. Games. You lose. Hit the bowling rhythm, moving the phone like a racket.
And then actually, now that we're closer, I can actually hear bouncing from each phone to each phone, so you get a better idea about timing. There is visually a ball that kind of floats up and down as it's coming to you. The thing is that you do need to be on normal colors, not inverted, because this is white on black textures. So if you're low vision trying to play, do be aware that if you live in the inverted colors mode or smart screen filtering, you will run into that. But otherwise, that's easy to get around. We'll move out of this.
Hit the bowling rhythm, ping pong, heading, games, button. Alert. If you go back, you lose the connection with your friend. Do you want to go back? Cancel, button, okay, button.
Now, that doesn't mean that we have to repair our phones to do multiplayer again. It just means that both phones now know that they're not playing ping pong anymore, but we don't have to reconnect.
Right, and I just got a notification stating that my friend...
Your friend has closed the game. Wait for them to choose another game.
So I have to say okay to that.
Flag.
This is Ricky's all-time favorite.
Which we're not doing.
We're not doing?
No, we're not doing.
You're not going to do flag?
No.
I win this one.
Yeah.
This will make me look so much better on the podcast.
Yeah, bubbles. You'll probably win at bubbles too.
Okay, so flag is Simon Says. And you'll hear a series of commands in which you point your phone up, or point it left, or point it east to where you're sitting, or point it south, so that would be down. If you're playing this by yourself as a one player, it's pretty cool. You get through the first round, and then in the middle it turns around and says, okay, let's reverse it. So now when you hear south, you need to point your phone up for north. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's, all right, it's fine. I don't recommend this.
Page 4-5. Tap, 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 tap. Tap to begin.
Tap, this one tap. I win.
Yes, this one you win pretty much all the time. The idea is that you'll hear a number, and you have to tap your phone a number of times in order to hit that number before the other person. So if it says 24, both of you tap your phone ridiculously fast in order to get to 24. If you tap 23, or if you tap 25, you lose. So the first one to 24 would win. It's a random number. That too doesn't really bode well for audio, but this one does. This one's great.
Page 5 of 5, bubble, tap to begin.
Bubble is one of Liam's favorites, so we'll tap this.
Bubble, tap to begin.
Grab a finger on the screen.
Okay, so it's giving us instructions. We haven't actually started yet because we're still going to have the...
Right.
Now, notice we... It doesn't tell us touch to begin, but you can kind of intuit that we've done that for every other thing, so probably each of us has to tap it before we start our countdown.
And before we do this, what happens is you'll get a countdown... And then you'll move your finger around your iPhone screen until you feel vibration. And when you feel vibration, you tap it and you've popped a bubble. And then you move your finger around the screen again until you find another bubble to tap. And you find as many bubbles within a set amount of time. And whoever has the highest number of bubble pops wins. So you'll hear that in a second.
Drag the finger on the screen. Drag the finger on the screen.
Drag the finger on the screen. 3, 2, 1.
Where are you? Ah, there you were. I had you. Oh, no. There you were.
Uh-oh, he's catching up. I'm in trouble. Ah, countdown. No.
Draw with
seven. Ah, I saw it. I totally saw it. Totally saw it towards the end. There were two that were right next to each other, and that's why I was able to catch up. So we'll do this one more time.
Drag the finger on the screen. Drag the finger on the screen. Wait for your friends to be ready.
Drag the finger on the screen. 3, 2, 1.
I had you.
Come on, Bubble. Where are you? Uh-oh. I think I'm still behind. Yeah, definitely behind. Where have all the bubbles gone?
You win with 6 bubbles.
Woohoo!
All right. Lose.
So we can get out of that.
Button. Alert. Okay, button.
Alert.
Bubble.
Your friend has
talked again.
Wait for them to choose another game.
Okay, so do you want me to demonstrate Flag, since you don't want to play Flag real quick?
You can enjoy that, yes.
Okay, so...
We have to demonstrate the single-player mode just to make sure it works.
Bubble, tap to begin. Page 4 of 5. Page 3 of 5. Flag, tap to begin.
Okay, so you get to close out of your app.
I'm gone.
Flag, tap to begin. Point the phone towards the direction indicated by the voice and keep it pointed until the next indication. When it will tell you, you will have to point in the opposite direction. Keep the phone right in front. Alert. Your friend has disconnected. You will be brought to the main screen. Okay. Button.
That took a minute.
One player. Button. One player. Button. Safe opener. Safe opener. Page 1 of 5. Center of screen. Page 2 of 5. Ping pong. Tap to page 2 of 5. Page 3 of 5. Flag. Tap to begin. Point the phone towards the direction indicated by the voice and keep it pointed until the next indication. When it will tell you, you will have to point in the opposite direction. Keep the phone right in front of you and touch to begin. Point the phone towards the direction.
Right. West. Right. Down. Left. Up. Down. East. Down. Left. Now do the opposite of what I say. Up. South. North. Right.
Yeah.
South. Up. Right. South. Up. Left. Finish. Score. 17 points. High score.
New high score. That doesn't seem well.
This means things did not go well before.
Oh, man. What can happen is you leave your phone in the direction that you are like, okay, wait, should I put it back north? Should I, you know, center it? What should I do? And then if you don't move it fast enough and it's the opposite of what it is, so north, and I was already pointing up, you know, I needed to be pointing down, then I left it in that position and it counted that as wrong. But that's really fun. It's neat to play. It's a great tool for those who are doing, say, vision awareness presentations. It's a great way to get people to be a part of the conversation about feeling vibration, understanding things, and doing it competitively is kind of a neat thing. So that's Dusk, free on the App Store. What do you think, Ricky?
I like it. It's a lot of fun, especially when I win, which is not always.
Oh, that's not true. She actually has won many more games than I am demonstrating here. So really fun to play. Really great. Remember, you can always do this with AirDrop. So if you have it installed and your friend doesn't, you can always send them a link through AirDrop, which is very helpful.
Tech and other stuff. You're listening to the BBQ.
Hey, this is Alex Hall. Thank you, Alex. And a simple Windows tip, mostly in 10. I think it works at least in a couple other versions as well. But talking about how to find files in Windows, and he throws out a couple ideas and we can add to this. You can, for one, if you're trying to find a folder and you know you have a folder that's called download, say it's C:\downloads, you can hit Windows R for run and you can just type in the name of that folder, such as C:\downloads. Very simple. Just to add to that, you can hit Windows R, the run dialog comes up, press period, just period, and then press enter. And that will drop you into essentially what's called your user folder. That's the folder from which my documents comes, desktop, pictures, my music, all those things comes right out of that folder. So that's one thing. Now, I don't know about you, Joe. I have about 200 gigs of stuff in my Dropbox. I use it a lot. You know, I'm on the premium plan and, you know, and so I have lots of stuff there. I have all of, you know, I use it for backup a lot. I have all of our podcasts recorded. I have all, we have all of our, a lot of our old show notes and things like that. I don't know where things get put sometimes, and, you know, sometimes they get put in the wrong folder. So, of course, there's a search box. Now you can tab to it, like you suggested, Alex. I think it's easier to press F3 when you're in a folder, and it will search all the folders and subfolders. Say you just wanted to find MP3 files. Well, you could do asterisk or star period MP3, right? That's simple. Some of you may have known that. It's actually worked in a few versions of Windows that has. It will search
even DOS in the old wildcard days.
We'll do some of that, right? Yes. And it will go. It might take a while. If you're searching through a whole tree of folders, it might take a minute. Or a network drive, it might take a minute. You can also do text inside of a file. My fantasy football commissioner, if he's listening. We did a draft order at convention, and then he misplaced it. Nobody remember, you know, to draw who was going to pick which in the draft.
Right.
Turns out he put it in the middle of some other file. And the suggestion I threw out was, hey, why don't you search for one of our names? Because hopefully you wrote down the name on the file and then it will search through all your text files and stuff. And then he did eventually find it to do the find the order. So you can do that to find, if you're like trying to figure out where you put this random note, if you have an idea of a word or two that's in the file, you can hit F3 and type that up and it will search all the folders and subfolders for that word to kind of dig things out. Don't be as disorganized as I am, though. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Especially if you're looking for a certain contact, maybe you wrote a note down or something and you didn't transfer it to your contacts app or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
exactly. Classic. Or like, you know, you could do, you know, email at soandso.com if you know it. Like, I know it's a Gmail. I know it's an AT guy's email or whatever. And you can do that. So thanks, Alex.
Alex, for yay, that. Always, thank you for sending that along.
Sometimes it's the simple stuff. You know, we overlook things like this sometimes, I think, because it's something that I've done for years and years, right? And right. So we think of tips, sometimes you overlook things like that. Like, you assume that because you know it, everyone knows it. I'm sure there's other things that Alex has been doing for years that we've just, you know, have overlooked. So, you know, it goes both ways. So
absolutely.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Absolutely. And then sometimes, you know, one of your hosts here on this particular program makes a reference to something and only he and maybe a handful of people absolutely know what he was talking about when he said it absentmindedly. Orko writes in and says, hey, that thing that Joe talked about with garanimals, which I'll explain in a second. He mentioned something like way round, and it was very similar to that. There wasn't a link in the show notes. You're right. It was an interview that we were referencing from Way Around that was part of our convention coverage. Now, to circle back to what a garanimal is, garanimal was a type of clothing that Sears would sell for people who were style impaired, like myself, and weren't sure about how to match colors or, you know, did this match this? So they would put tags with animals on it. So you'd match the purple hippo to the purple hippo or the green giraffe to the green giraffe. And it taught kids how to match colors and styles back in those days. And so what I had made a mention to was that Way Round would allow you to do something like that. So you could leave yourself a note that this tag on this piece of clothing would match this other piece of clothing, and you could match them garanimal style. So Way Round, I'll put a link in the show notes to our interview that we had. Jay and I were talking before we started recording. You've got a starter pack or something like that.
I got a few tags, so I need to go play with this. There we go. I sent you the link, so we can't lose it. Jessica Hip from Way Around was someone to talk to us when I was in St. Louis. So we'll link for that. And there's different styles and types of tags. It works on iOS and Android. They have free apps for both. So anyone can download the app if you just want to. It ain't going to do much for you without the tags, but you can get the app and then they will send you starter packs and things like that. And yeah, we need to play with that a little bit and kind of demo it a little more than what was done on the interview. So we'll try to do that. I've never heard of garanimals either, so don't feel bad. It wasn't just you.
No, I'm old. We've established this over 154 shows. It's quite all right. I'm perfectly fine. I have an entire career based around odd and strange references. You want to take this next one? And I'll
try to paraphrase this. Word. I should have hooked up the Braille display.
The Braille display? All right, yeah.
Wait a minute. NVDA has this like automatic Bluetooth, or it's like automatic Braille display thing now, where they have it so it's supposed to automatically
pair slash grab.
Yeah, well, it's already paired. Let's see what happens here. NVDA? NVDA? I see battery level 98%. NVDA? Okay, I don't know how often it checks, you know? Maybe like once a minute.
Live demos are awesome. They are just the best.
I thought I'd try it.
No, I'm with you.
It's a cool feature when it works. Braille display said automatic. Like apply. Let me hit okay again. Maybe that will reset it. There should be a button to like a detect now button is what should be. Oh, you know what? I don't think I have Bluetooth turned on.
Oh, well, that would explain a great many things.
I've turned Bluetooth on now. Sorry, we're trying to kill time on this episode anyway.
Very much so.
Okay, so now I've turned on Bluetooth. How long do you think it'll take? While that's happening,
okay,
I'll come back over here to the thingy.
Right.
So this is a... okay, good. We paired... That's my Google Home.
You paired it to the Google Home.
Oh, there it is.
Nice.
Ha! It popped up on my little... my brilliance. I'm my brilliant now. Okay.
Okay.
So pretty much the same time that... it says, hi, I'm Marcus Miranda, a U.S. citizen in the Philippines. I am completely blind since April 2018. So that just happened right pretty recently, a month before my 48th birthday. The eye doctor, where I was in the Philippines, claims I have diabetic retinopathy and says I need $3,500 equivalent from the Philippine pesos. Is that how you say that?
Sure.
I guess that's their doctor. For surgery in my right eye, as my left eye is dead. But he goes on and talks about that, but he also starts talking about technology. He said, what frustrates me is I know all this technology and I can't use any of my knowledge for benefit. I've been building speech synth projects since the 80s and really talking about how a lot of the technology for him is out of reach. And he's like, how do you guys afford this stuff? How do you guys afford this stuff? I'm strictly an Android user. I'm typing this message on a Bluetooth keyboard linked to my LG phone. Why is Blind Bargains only focused on wealthy blind people? I can't afford many Apple devices. Most of the products you talk about are Apple, which... It's kind of interesting to me now.
Yeah,
we got a few things to go here.
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely. And believe it or not, we're actually considered Android heads because we've been talking about Android accessibility since 2010. I use an iPhone 8 right now as my daily driver, but I flip back to an old S5 every now and then. And of course, I've got an NVIDIA Shield tablet here running Oreo.
I feel like we cover Android a lot. If you go, go to the blindbargains.com and search Android, we do a lot of Android coverage, more so than the ratio of blind Android users suggests that we should.
Just had Google as a sponsor do our convention coverage where we talked a lot about Google products. So we tend to be that way, but the majority of people in the United States use iOS. That's just kind of the default standard, the same way that there's a lot of people who use Windows and not as much in Mac. And some people would debate us on that. So we try to be as fair, but at the same time, the majority of our audience is on one particular platform, so we have to acknowledge it. So that's kind of why I also use iOS. I use iOS because I need to talk about it here on the program, and I need to be available for testing for projects that I do. So I have it around and I use it, but you're going to hear an earful when we get to Apple Talk next month because I have a good idea that I'm not going to be happy, as usual.
Now, as for affording it, affording new technology and things like that, there's a few things going on. And yes, we're both fortunate to be employed in other things besides this podcast. So that does help pay for some of it. And that being said, I don't have a Polaris or an Apex, a Touch, or other $5,000 items. And, Blind Bargains, right, is our site. So I'm always looking out for the crazy deal on something, somebody's secondhand whatever. When someone's selling it for $500 or whatever, I do a lot of buying and selling. I'll buy this, sell that. So that's how I get stuff, or borrow stuff from a friend so I can, review it. Sometimes companies will loan us things for reviews and then we have to send it right back. So it's like, hey, we got this cool new thing. Yeah, but now we reviewed it and it's gone. So, we don't even keep all the things.
We don't keep it.
All right.
That we talk about. Right. And my fiance is totally blind. And so she has a lot more equipment that I would not normally have. So I get a chance to play with her stuff. And so we've known people in the industry for a very long time. So we have an opportunity to play with stuff that they give us or they show us. Or, of course, you hear about it at convention.
Our listeners, too, are the contributors, Scott and Shelly and Ricky and Jamie and everybody. A lot of them come across things. So that's what we kind of Buddy as well. Buddy gets all the crazy stuff this year, man. He's been
Buddy. Buddy's the Mr. Moneybags, or, Mr. Apple Moneybags now, working over there in Austin. But Buddy's the one who loves to be able to pick up something that he thinks is new and emerging. He's kind of our go-to guy for that kind of stuff.
The other thing, Marcus, that I would say, even being internationally, the cool thing about the tech industry, and it sounds like you have a lot of knowledge in that area, there are a lot of jobs that do not require a physical presence. And if you do some looking around, there are people looking to hire smart tech minds for a variety of jobs, whether it's blindness related or not. So
especially bilingual ones.
Oh, gosh.
My goodness, my friend, you have a leg up on many, many, many people because you have more than one language available to you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are looking for that, especially, in that part of the world. So as you start to reach out and feel more comfortable about how things are working out for you, then yes, there are companies who would be very interested in speaking to you about what's available and what could be used in that area. So it's very much a positive thing. But we talk about all sorts of crazy stuff here because we're, incredibly lucky to have done that. I mean, I'm entering, next year is my 20th the professional year in assistive technology, but I've been using assistive technology since 1978 with the Kurzweil reading machine. So I grew up around it. So I've had an opportunity, and Jay's had a really good school system where he got to see a whole bunch of really cool stuff too. So it's just the luck of the draw. I hate to say in some cases, but that's a really good question and I'm glad you asked it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for writing. Of course you can write us, as Kiffany said, at feedback@blindbargains.com. Last word, I did watch this or part of it at least, but I see a URL. I see here is a URL. By the way, since I hooked this up and turned it on, looking at a URL and UEB on a Braille display. Oh my gosh, this is obnoxious. YouTube.com/watts. I guess that's the new equal sign? V.
Sure.
Dot five. Dot, okay. V A H Z W W P 0 A K U U. What does that mean, Joe?
I don't know, but you're not saying it phonetically, Jay. See, that's the difference here, is that you're not saying
Victor,
English
Victor,
as it was pronounced phonetically. So this is a link that I tweeted out a week ago where I had said that what you can hear in this video that Patrick will play a clip of, as speech users, we're already familiar with this. You know, the classic, maybe if you're an old time screen reader user, you remember how Jesus Christ was said, Jesus Christ, and things like that. Well, just take a listen to English phonetically from this gentleman.
Toby, or not Toby, that I stick quistion. Whither ties noblier I'm the mind, to so fear these slangs and arrows, or would ragios fortuni, or to tacky arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing in thee. To die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to sigh we end the here tacky, and the those and natural shocks that flesh is the arto. Taisa consumation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there is the rube, for I'm that sleep of death, what dreams my commie. When we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pausi. There is the respect that Maki's calamity of so long lifey.
I love this clip. This is a good clip. And it implies a lot about how we speak and how synthesizers kind of play with language.
To
and
be
why
or not to be, or tobe.
That's a good one. Yeah. I still like it in its native Klingon, but yes.
Yeah, you know, oh man, our language. Probably easier in the Philippines, right?
I would think so.
We always put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllables. And
syllable. Oh, and, nice. And very nice. Really, see, I'm not the only one who makes quotes here. That's good. I like that.
There you go. Well, let me send you this. Boom.
Okay. What do we have here?
Oh, did I just tweet that publicly? Ha. Oh, yeah, I might have. Oh, well.
Did you?
Congratulations. I might have just tweeted it publicly instead of to you. That's okay. You know, it's all right. It can go public. I was looking for random things, and I thought this was blind appropriate. We can benefit a lot of times from accessible crosswalks or crosswalks that are easily marked. Makes it a little easier sometimes, especially in high traffic situations. Down in South Carolina, not too far from you, there's a state park there. Let's see, what's it called here? Huntington State Park. You ever been there?
I know where it is. I have not been there.
Oh, good. We have a video. Of course, unfortunately, the video is pretty visual. There's not a lot of audio in this video, so I'm not going to play it here. But even alligators, they have a video here of an alligator. You know, they could just cross the street anywhere. No, he uses the crosswalk. You know, like just picture this awesome gator kind of walking back and forth. Nope, not there, not there. Oh, here's the spot.
Don't croc. Oh, wait, no, alligator. Sorry.
No, wrong. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
That's all I got. It's really short, but then that's it.
It's rock around the clock, alligator. Okay, never mind.
Alligator. That's one of the songs. Somebody's turned this off. This is cool. NVDA automatically detecting braille displays when as long as you have Bluetooth.
And your Google Home, which I think is just, that's
well, sweet. No, I didn't have Bluetooth on. That's why when I turned it on. The Google Home jumps right in. No, it does USB too. Right, it works for most of them. So that's, there you go. Hey, you got a tip within a tip or next to a tip. Look at that.
You know, that's actually where I will do. I have one Google Home paired to my iPad, and all I have to do is say that Google word, you know, Google, and then turn on Bluetooth, and then it'll pair to the iPad, and I can play like Bard books and stuff, you know, right there, a little easier from the iPad connected to Google Home. It is just so simple and quick and easy. Yeah, that thing right there. Right there? That right there?
Alexa, hi. Hello. Hi, what can I do for you?
Okay, I guess they're done.
Okay. I like that they recognized that enough people had done it on YouTube that they finally just gave up and said, you know, well, let's just program.
We'll just add our own thing. You can still do the old trick, yeah. Right? But yeah, right. Sometimes people you'll be like, oh, really? I can talk to her?
Egg noodle still works, by the way.
So does I like sex. Yep.
I wasn't aware of that one. That's a good one. Found not sure out. How many times that came up in the conversation so people noticed, but all right.
It's time to go.
A tip within a tip on the show. You can find out so much more about these kinds of things if you follow me on Ranger Station over at Twitter, if you're still using the Twitters, if you haven't abandoned Twitter for the cesspool that it is. Twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word. And no, I don't have a Mastodon. Stop asking me about Mastodon.
I was just going to say, you can follow Blind Bargains on Mastodon. Just kidding. No, you can follow us on Twitter.com/BlindBargains. I always forget to mention, we do have a Facebook as well. If you want to see our posts there, that's Facebook.com/BlindBargains as well. I just always forget to mention it because it's kind of just there. Yeah. You know?
Well, we don't talk about the newsletter hardly at all.
We don't have a newsletter. And we do have a newsletter. Right. And we don't have an Instagram, but there you go. No. Blind Bargains.
Or Snapchat.
No. BlindBargains.com. Get the apps for iOS and Android. Please rate us as well. We really appreciate it. Subscribe to the podcast. Like, subscribe, and all that stuff.
About.me or Clout.
No, or Clout. Clout went out of business.
Friendster.
We had a, no, I had a Clout. I have Blind Bargains on Clout, but it went out of business.
Did we?
We had a Clout score. You know how much Clout we got of that?
Oh.
Nothing. Because they're like, get a high score, you'll get free. They're bankrupt. Now they're gone. No more clout. Yeah.
No more clout.
Thanks, Patrick, for doing this thing. We call it podcast.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. And
correct.
He said he found outtakes from 4 years ago. I'm scared. I don't know what that means. Thanks, okay. Alex, for doing the tip.
For writing in and sending it along. We always enjoy user-submitted content.
Yes, so plus work for us. Along. We have one before the Apple show, so right around we're back to weekly now, I think. Hope.
Yes.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yes. Through the
minus fall. Any more teeth missing from you, we're good.
Well, that's up to them. There's two more they could easily take out.
Yes, I was about to say.
It's also $250.
What did the tooth fairy bring you? More Oreos, I imagine. Just
no. Cheese balls. No, I don't.
Oh, dude, yes, I saw your cheese balls. Well, happy belated birthday.
Starting
cheese balls.
The timer again.
Cheese balls. Yes, no, so the original Planters cheese balls are back for a limited time. And we found a few cans. My parents did actually, and they're up and they got them for me. So they're out there. If you're looking for them, yes, they taste the same. They taste amazing. Mm-hmm. And they're out a bunch of different stores.
And if you needed any squeaky doors, made a little bit better with the grease from those cheese balls, he's got it, man.
I love them. Don't buy them, man. Someone's like buying up cans and selling them for $20 a piece on Amazon. So you don't pay that much. They're like $2 a can.
No. Rocky Road Oreos are out. I have to find those.
That's you.
Yeah.
That's you. Yeah. And what was the other weird Oreo that you guys were talking about?
Oh, that Al had tweeted out. Yeah, he had tweeted out that there are in China hot wing and what was it? Wasabi Oreos.
Huh. Okay. They can stay there.
Not the same flavor. They're two separate flavors. Okay. So hot wing. Right.
There
not
is the, Giordano's not pizza chips out right now, or there are.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Is it Lay's?
The regional ones. Yeah. So the regional, there are six types of Lay's going around the country, and they are regional. And
yeah,
the one
and the
here,
Giordano's
of course,
pizza is the flavor over here. I would definitely want to get a hold of
the North Carolina
deep
one.
Dish pizza chips inspired by Giordano's.
I'll trade you. You want a bag of pimento cheese? I'll send them up there.
I want to try these regional chip flavors.
Right, but that's the one that we have here.
Really?
In North Carolina. Yes, I'm not kidding. I would like to find my own self different ones. I know there are different ones depending on where you are, if you're on the Pacific.
Pimento cheese with a hint of cayenne. Chili con Gulf queso.
Coast, correct, has Cajun.
Lobster roll.
That's northeast.
I don't know if I want that one.
No? You don't think lobster roll would work as a potato chip? Lazy.
They will ship them online.
Oh, well, there you go.
There's also four other flavors available for a limited time, including bacon-wrapped jalapeno pepper. I would do that. Dude. Fried green tomatoes. Yeah. Ketchup.
There's the Cajun one.
And West Coast truffle fry.
Yep.
Try a few of them. I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to go eat some chips.
So, yeah, there you go, everybody. Still haven't broken into the Nutter Butter cereal yet, but the Chips Ahoy cereal tastes a lot like Honey Smacks met up with Cookie Crisp. That's what that
is. You really just want to get a food show going in, don't you?
I know. I have delusions of grandeur. EOL.
Yeah.
Blue cheese versus ranch. It'll never leave us.
Blue cheese. I miss the original blue cheese.
I totally
would. But it has to be crumbles, totally not dressings. Crumbles. Anyway, let's go.
I understand. All right. Okay. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy Labor Day if you celebrate it here in the United States. And we will talk to you in September.
See you in September. Okay, bye.
When September ends?
No, too. Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018. Music on this week's podcast was created by Andre Louis. The laughter and applause sound effects were recorded by me at the 2009 ACB National Convention opening session.
So what you're saying is, if anyone was there, if anyone was...
Yes, if you were there, you might have been in this podcast without even realizing it.
Oh, great.